461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe should be the top of the top news. I believe the issue today should be understood by every Christian, conservative, and patriot. I believe the issue we're talking about today needs to be understood, biblically speaking, by each and every one that's tuned in. We're talking about the Iran-Russia-China connection. What is the connection between Iran, Russia, and China? Now, I realize there are other connectives out there also, but these are the three major ones that are connected. And I want us to understand how they're connected, why they're connected, and why this is so important when we talk about ending the war in Iran. The peace talks, they're calling them now. Very frankly, I believe we need to either win the war or walk away from it, not have some kind of peace talks where there's a signed document that we know in advance that Iran will never, ever, ever be totally submitted and surrendered to. That's the discussion today, and right after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now, I don't think there should be a debate about how long forever happens to be. It's forever. And that's the truth of the word of the Lord. This is the reason, if I could just do a little Youngblood footnote, this is the reason I get uptight when we hear so many talking about new versions, new translations, the modernization of the Word of God. I believe we need to leave it alone. It doesn't need updating, doesn't need revising, doesn't need any. I had an article just the other day. A female preacher, Looney Tune, talked about the errors, and really what we need to do is trash the two Bibles, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and write a third testament that will correct all of the errors that we'll find in the Bible. Some of the things that she said, that God said, that ought to be understood as not real, but just simply flippant speaking. I go back to what is real today. And George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said this: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And we see a disdain for truth today. perhaps more than in our lifetimes. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a profound statement. Jim DeMint, in part, said this: what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian church. End quote. That's a sad commentary, but that's a fact. And I believe we need to recognize that we're witnessing a decline in America, and that decline is in total, context of the decline of truth. And truth, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am truth. And it's a decline in America in our leaning on, depending upon, and recognizing God as the only hope and the only help in our world. But yet, according to the latest review and survey, some articles that I'm looking at now, says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article begins with a statement from Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary says, truth is the body of real things, the body of evidence, the facts, the actualities, and the state of being in fact, true. Yet, 55% of the millennials today, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say this: each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. If we get away from that, we've lost the truth. I go back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jan Hus, that made that profound statement, when he was being burned at the stake, he screamed out, truth shall prevail. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we get back to the fundamental foundations of what is truth. And that goes back to the Word of God. We've deviated from it. We banned the Bible from schools. We banned prayer from our schools. We've taken in the name of Jesus from our public political meetings as though it's some kind of virus of some type that needs to be avoided. We need to get back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of brands for the homeowner like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time as the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. You say, how do I find Tools for a Time? It's located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier on the campus of Tools for a Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment on a brief monologue. We'll open our telephone lines and invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, I have consistently reminded us over and over again, less than 100 years now, consistently reminded us on this broadcast and many times, if not most of the time, when I teach or preach, I remind listeners, participants, that everything that happens locally, nationally, internationally, and globally, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say about that which is taking place? What is taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God reveals what God has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do in this old world. Most are aware of the fact that in the past, 90 days or less, in fact, it's less than that, we've been in a conflict that they have dubbed the war in Iran. The war in Iran. But ladies and gentlemen, of course, the anti-media, anti-American media, the Marxist college co-eds, and the wackos that's called the Democratic Party are all against President Trump's leadership in that role. In fact, I am ever amazed at the Marxist media and their commentary, especially the Communist Network News, and their commentary about the war in Iran. They are pleading and begging the enemy to win the battle. They're on the side of the enemy. They're on the side of the war hawks in the Islamic jihadist regime in Iran. Our media stands for them. Our media, I believe, would love to see America have some major calamity in the Middle East that could be blamed on President Trump. In fact, I've said before and I'll say again, I believe the media and the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party would rejoice to see the demise of the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America. I believe they'd rejoice to see that. We're witnessing that today. The Democratic Party, all against President Trump. They're against the conservatives. They're against America. They're against our patriots in America. And mostly, they're against the conservative Christians in our nation. So it's sad when we see so many of our political leaders today also involved in that stand against America. I listened this morning to a portion of the debate, the interview, the challenging of Pete Hegseth in relationship to the expenditures and the budgeting and what's being spent, et cetera, et cetera. There's a mindset, he was challenged this morning on the amount of equipment that we have left. You know why? Simply because the media has put it out into the airways that we're running out of ammo. We're running out of ammo. And Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, made it very clear we're not running out. But the bottom line is there's a mindset to assist the enemy in the overthrow of America. And the, ladies and gentlemen, the epic fury, or whatever they're calling it, President Trump's called it, our American military today's under fire, under attack by the socialist, Marxist, communist left. They are trying to put it on the basis and let the public think that somehow, some way, what we're doing as Americans in the battle is harmful and detrimental. This is the reason the Pope has jumped into the battle, the foray. The Pope is challenging Trump. Now, he's quieting down some, yeah. But the Pope's been challenging President Trump on the war. That basically, I'm going to put it in Youngblood paraphrased edition, the Pope's saying that the war kills people, breaks things, and destroys families. Yes, it does. But ladies and gentlemen, we've been in a war with Iran, old biblical term Elam, Persia, Iran. We've been in the war with Iran for at least 47 years. And there's not been another president with the spine, the backbone, to stand up and say, you cannot do what you're doing. You cannot threaten America 24-7. You cannot threaten Israel 24-7. You cannot call us the great Satan and Israel the little Satan. It's an impossibility. If the enemy says we're going to kill you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm of the opinion that we need to listen to the enemy and recognize there's danger ahead. That's what Trump's doing. But most of our political leaders today are taking a stand. That's on the other side of the aisle, of course. Taking a stand with Iran. Even though Trump provided a lull today in the battle, there's a ceasefire. Yet our ships have been shot at three times. And I believe not just shot at, but hit three times now. And Trump's having a lot of restraint and saying we're going to wait and see. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the hot war that's been lulled, allowing Iran to come to the peace agreement with the features that America said needs to be in that peace agreement. Now, listen very carefully. And our, by the way, as we open our telephone lines, that number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. And lest you have forgotten very briefly, I said where we're going today. Well, look at what's happening in Iran. Look at the peace agreement. Look at what Trump has said needs to be on the table and what the Iranians are saying they're going to do or not going to do. Then the question is being asked. I want you to respond. How does Russia and China fit into this battle? How does Russia and China fit into the framework of what's happening in Iran? Why is it that Russia and China have such sway over Iran? Why is it that with Iran in the condition it's in, that all of a sudden Xi wants to talk with Trump? Why is it all of a sudden Putin wants to talk with Trump? We're going to get to the bottom line of that in this broadcast today and point out to you how it's the eschatological truth leaping off the pages of Scripture. How we're seeing what's happening today, having been given to us in the Word of God centuries ago, as to what we need to understand that God is doing right here, right now, even today. But America said to Iran, part of the quote peace agreement, peace plan, peace offer, is that Iran, you surrender all nuclear materials. And I understand there's quite a bit of the nuclear material, refined material, that's ready to be used for nuclear weapons. And Trump is saying, want all of it. I don't think that's a bad request. Secondly, Trump's demand, America's demand to Iran, you cannot have any nuclear material. You cannot have any nuclear weaponry, period. You cannot hold it. You cannot have it, present tense or future tense. Thirdly, and this is very important, the peace plan, the peace agreement that's offered on the table through Pakistan, by the way, that's almost laughable, how Pakistan is supposed to be engineering the peace plan, the peace talks, and facilitating it. We'll tell you why in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, those are the three major things. Thirdly is the Strait of Hormuz being open. No tolls, no fees, but open for international shipping. And on three occasions, the Islamic heads said yes to these three things. Did you know that? On at least three occasions, those three essence points have been agreed upon. And then they would want to wait a few days to talk it over and let the leadership with Trump know. And each time, after three times, they've said, no, we're not willing to do that. In fact, each time they've returned with an answer, with a demand. Their demand is control of the Straits of Hormuz and be able to charge fees for ships to pass through. Now, if they could do that now, if we allow that now, they will control shipping globally. They, Iran, will be in a position of controlling industry, shipping, trade, including commodities and oil. They will control the globe with that, if that's allowed. So number one, that's not going to be allowed. But they've said, we want to control the Straits of Hormuz with fees for ships to pass through. Secondly, they said, and I quote, we will not surrender. In fact, their words, we will never surrender our nuclear material. In fact, on one of the occasions, they said, we can't get to it. It's buried in the mountains. And now they're saying, number one, we can't get to it. Number two, we'll never surrender it. And thirdly, they said, we do not ever plan to cease nuclear goals. Now, ladies and gentlemen, most of the news media are not covering the essence of these statements and what it means. Listen, Iran, old Persia, has already been the enemy of the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people, for centuries. I'm looking at a headline. President Trump says ceasefire on life support. Perhaps you heard that little portion on the news. after rejecting Iranian counterproposals. President Donald Trump on May 11th rejected Iran's latest response to a U.S.-backed proposal aimed at reopening the Strait of Hormuz, warning that the fragile ceasefire between the two nations is now, this is Trump speaking, now on life support. President Trump speaking in the Oval Office said the ceasefire with Iran has roughly a 1% chance of living, describing the situation as dire, while stopping short of saying he would immediately resume military action. Trump called Iran's leadership very dishonest people and criticized how long it took for them to respond to the U.S. proposal. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just put in a little young blood parenthetical footnote. They, Iran, what they're doing, what they're trying to accomplish, and it's being promulgated and pushed as a result of the socialist, Marxist, communist media in America. And that is just wait Trump out. Wait until, see, if Iran can postpone any settlement until after the November election, the American media and the Marxist, communist, Democrats have persuaded Iran that Trump will no longer be in charge after November election. And they will then be willing to negotiate something like Obama had negotiated back in 2012, 2015 with Iran. Gave them hundreds of billions of dollars and an open book, open field, open opportunity to develop nuclear weapons. They've done that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Iran envisions as the potentiality even now. It's to await the election time in America. And they believe the devil's lie coming out of the Marxist media and the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party that somehow Trump will no longer be in authority. This, by the way, a little footnote also. This is the reason it's so important for Christians, conservatives, and patriots to vote in November. I've harped on that multitudes of times. And I believe it is the most consequential election that will take place in America in my lifetime. And I believe that we will lose America, lose the American heritage. We will lose our constitutional republic if Christians do not vote in November. And that vote must be on the side of God, on the side of the Word of God, based on the authority of the Word of God, and not based on some political agenda or some lie, as Spamberger told the Virginians and got she got slapped down by even her own state Supreme Court. They're challenging that, by the way, now to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I believe there'll be a 3-6 vote out of the Supreme Court sustaining the Supreme Court of the state of Virginia, because what Spamberger has attempted to do was not only illegal but unconstitutional on their own state's constitution and on the Constitution of the United States of America. Here's a statement that I believe we need to understand coming out of the mullahs, the Islamic jihadist, out of Iran. Iran says it will never latch onto that word. It will never bow as Trump rejects peace counteroffer prolonging Middle East conflict. And I'll read two paragraphs. Trump rejected Iran's counterproposal to end a 10-week war, calling it totally unacceptable. Tehran voted to never, that's their term, never bow our heads before the enemy. The unresolved standoff hangs over the high-stakes summit between Trump and, listen, this is an important little one sentence. The unresolved standoff hangs over the high-stakes summit between Trump and Chinese President Xi. U.S. President Donald Trump rejected Iran's counterproposal to end the 10-week war in the Middle East, calling it totally unacceptable, while Tehran vowed to never bow, prolonging a standoff that has choked the Straits of Hormuz globally and all of the energy markets. This article further states Tehran Iran's response as a rejection of the U.S. proposal, which is characterized as a demand to surrender. Iran is saying it's a demand to surrender. In its response to the latest U.S. proposal, Tehran has issued a war reparations, insisted on having full reparations from the war, full sovereignty over the Straits of Hormuz. In other words, Iran says, we want you to rebuild our nation. We want you to give us free control of the Straits of Hormuz, that we control all industry and all trade carried by ship around the globe, and end the sanctions and the release of frozen Iranian assets. One final note, it says, Iran rejected U.S. demands regarding its nuclear program and stockpile of highly enriched uranium. The U.S. wants assurances that Iran, listen, wants the assurance that Iran will never end its future of wanting to have nuclear weapons and will be cut off at this signing of the peace treaty. They want the assurance that it will stop that program as part of any peace deal. And I could go on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is America has offered what I would call a peace treaty that should be sustainable and should be reachable and should be embraced. But listen, if we think that from the human standpoint, we're right. But we're dealing with minds that are demonically controlled, that is the Islamic jihadist mullahs. The Shiite Muslim mind is that we are going to continue to have war, continue to have the battles, continue to have the conflicts. So it stirs globally, and it's only then, according to the position doctrinally of the Islamics, it's only then that the hidden imam, the 12th imam, that's hidden in a well on the backside of Iraq, for example, that hidden imam, that 12th imam, is hidden in a well. And only when the world comes into total conflict and chaos and confusion will that imam come out and bring the world to peace through Islam. Now, you know, and I know, that's a demonic lie. But that's the deception that the Islamic mullahs are operating under. They do not want, and in my most humble opinion, listen carefully, there shall never be peace through Iran with the world. There might be lulls. There might be small modicums of peace. But based on what I see in the study of the Word of God, Iran will survive to have full-fledged operational battle in the days of the war with Russia, Ezekiel 38 and 39. We're going to look at the connectivity. We're going to look at how these pieces of the puzzle are coming together. We're going to look at how Iran and Russia and China are basically buddies, and that's putting it politely. They're in control. Russia and China is in control of Iran. Iran cannot sell oil right now. Russia and China needs the oil. Russia and China are now in a, hard place trying to figure out what are they going to do next. I think, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that after the top of the hour news, but we're going to talk about the fact that why now is Putin saying we're going to end the war in Ukraine? Why now is there an urgent meeting with President Xi in China with President Trump of America? Why now, and why is it there's a mindset that somehow, some way, this cannot change until after the meeting? Listen carefully, a little tidbit. The war in Iran will not end until after the meeting that Trump has with Putin and after the meeting that Trump has with Xi from China. There will be a negotiation with them. They will negotiate with Iran, and there will be a peace treaty that will come forth as a result of that. Tell you the details in a moment of how we're going to arrive at that. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM.